to their if they win, there would be money that goes to their group to use on a MoDOT project. But anyway, they compete each year, and the commission thought it was very important, so they decided to schedule their April meeting in Springfield so they could go to the innovation showcase. There's also a Springfield Chamber of Commerce is hosting a reception the night before, which will be the first. I believe that's at 5 o'clock, but if you need information on that, let me know, because I didn't bring anything with me on that. I believe it's at 5 o'clock. So anyway, I want to make sure I said that before I forgot, because that's coming right up. The two things I handed you were the flyer on the Long Creek Bridge. We had a public meeting towards the end of February. We had over 300 people attend. I think I set a new record for public attendance at a rural project meeting. May have set it for an urban one, too. I don't know if we've ever had that many people show up in Springfield or not. But we had a lot of attention. We are planning to replace that bridge in 2022. I think the reason we got a lot of attention is because we're very early in the planning stages, so we needed to present both options, which is basically that we could close the existing bridge and replace the existing bridge in the same location, which would be the cheapest alternative. Or we could build a bridge either north or south of the existing bridge, keep the existing bridge open while we're doing the construction, and that would be the more expensive option. We do have a $36 million project budget set up. That budget would account for the more expensive option of building the parallel structure, keeping the old structure open. And we overwhelmingly heard from the public that was the preference that they had. That will be, we're estimating, it's very early, but we estimate that that's probably $4 or $5 million more cost to the taxpayers than if we had shut the bridge down for a year. But we were talking about almost a year, and we're talking about a detour that if you actually lived on one side and needed to go, say you needed to go to Long Creek Marina or something, it's like an hour and 15, hour and 20 minute detour. Obviously, we got a lot of feedback concerned about emergency services, about school services, about employment, access to the Branson and Hollister area, that type of thing. So a lot of good feedback. A lot of folks, I think, questioning why we even had the meeting. They're like, it seems pretty obvious to us that this is what we want. But really, we needed to come forward. It's part of our requirement as part of the environmental clearance process, but it also, we really needed to come forward and let people know what our budget was and how much additional funds, that's going to take to be able to keep that bridge open at all times. Also, while we were relaying that information, so right now we're looking at a 2022 schedule, we do have, we had done some in-depth inspection as part of this process. We know we've got some issues out there. That's the reason we're going to replace the bridge. We had some steel structure that was in worse shape than what we had anticipated, so we are going to have to do some emergency repairs. And so that got a little bit confusing at the meeting because we're talking about long-term fix, emergency repairs in the same meeting. But what we've got planned right now is we will have to close the bridge for the emergency repairs. It's due to the nature of the repairs because it's the truss members that go underneath the driving surface. They're steel. They'll have to be, cut, welded, replaced, that type of thing. And they need stabilization across the top of the deck to be able to do that. So basically we have to shut down the driving lanes to be able to perform the work underneath. So we're looking at the longest possible window would be 30 days. I'm hoping that's very conservative on our part. And right now we are in the process of ordering material and organizing. We will be bringing in additional bridge crews because we will be performing this work ourselves. We have bridge crews throughout the state. We will be bringing in a couple of extra bridge crews. And so we're anticipating that the work will occur in June right now. I believe the flyer said late spring, but really it's more like early summer. That gives us a good, healthy window of about 4 weeks where we can avoid the week of Memorial Day and the week prior to the 4th of July. And we'll still have a 4-week window there. That's what we're shooting for. Again, we're ordering materials. Those are being fabricated. So as long as nothing, you know, interferes with that chain of events, then that's what we should be shooting for. That avoids the Hollister schools had about 45 students plus teachers. They have to cross that bridge every day. That'll allow us to avoid the school year too. Has got any questions on that?
Whenever you do get that date set in stone, you let us know so we can start coordinating some emergency services.
Yes.
We might have to have some intergovernmental agreements with us.
We will be reaching
Stone
out.
Stone County to...
And we'll be glad for you guys to take as much of the lead as you want on that, but we will definitely be reaching out to the emergency services folks. We have other we had a list. We had over 300 people in attendance, but I should say we got almost that many comments too. And so we have contact information. We have a long, robust email contact list now. So we'll be reaching out to that group too. Have a lot of feedback from various businesses, various camps and different things that happened during the summer that we're all concerned about the impact of them too. So we're very aware of that. We would not be making the repairs if we didn't have to. We've actually load limited the bridge right now because of the fact of the condition of the existing girders. It is safe to cross. Obviously, we've left it open. It's safe to cross. But we want to avoid any additional damage to the bridge by limiting the heavier trucks. So we know that's impacting the community right now, and so we need to get the repairs done as quickly as possible, but we're going to try to avoid the really peak tourist times because we know that's going to be the most impactful time of all.
And I know you put it out, but what is the ton limit?
I believe it's set at 20 right now. And it's posted on, we've got CMS boards, and then there's more permanent type signs that are in front of the bridges on each end. But we've got CMS boards trying to catch people before they ever get onto the route so that they can choose an alternative route rather than turn on to 86. But that will remain in place until we can do the repairs. So. And hopefully, the type of repairs we're doing, what we're anticipating is this will be the last major repairs we'll have to do before replacement in 2022. Now, we have bridge deck, the concrete deck, that is in poor shape. We may have to get in there and do some patching, things like that, but not the major repair work that we're going to have to do in June.
And I know when everything gets explained, we should realize this, but I've heard people say, and I know that night, even people ask me to explain to them, there's no way that you can keep one lane open during...
Yeah, and that's due to the nature of the work. Like I said, we've got to stabilize it across the top of the deck, and they need to be able to... There's really no way to protect our work. That bridge is narrow enough that we couldn't put, a concrete jersey barrier or something up to protect the work while people are driving on the other side. There's just not enough room. And due to the nature of the work... we will be working our crews 6 days a week. We're going to plan on giving them one day a week off. But they'll basically be working a very long day each day, trying to get that work done as quickly as possible. And we know the impact to the community. We're bringing in additional crews. We'll be having to, pay the expense of putting them up in hotel rooms and taking them away from their families for, 2 to 4 weeks. So, we've realized the impact, and we're trying to mitigate it as quickly. But it's our responsibility to make sure that the bridge does stay safe, and we will be able to remove that load limit once we do the repairs. So, full access after that.
So. Well, the bridge is 63 years old.
Yeah. It went in with the lake, like a lot of our other bridges. Unfortunately, the truss structure, the concrete driving surface has not held up very well, and as a result, the truss supports underneath it are rusting. We haven't had the same issues with the other two truss bridges. We worked on Shell Knob, we worked on Kimberling City. We were able to just redeck them and able to keep it open to one lane of traffic, but they didn't have the structural issues that we've got with this bridge. And I don't really have an explanation for why. We've seen so much more deterioration on this bridge as opposed to the other two that we have. So it's longer. I don't know if that makes some difference or what, or if it just, they went in around the same time frame, but I don't know, different contractors, different time of year, maybe when the concrete was poured. I'm not sure, but we just know we've got worse conditions on this bridge to the point where it will need to be replaced.
I think we have the same thing with here. We wanted that replaced, and they would be at the same time, but one had to be replaced.
Yeah, and the other one's in fairly good shape. So, yeah, I wish I, as an engineer, I really wish I knew what causes the so much difference in the condition of structures that I know were put in fairly close together, same design, same aspects, but for some reason we get different life out of them. So. But that's why we inspect them. You know, if we thought they were just, you know, going to automatically get us 50 years, we would never inspect them for the first, you know, 40 or 50 years. But we know that there can be things that go wrong, so we inspect them every 2 years. So with the condition of this bridge, we are inspecting it yearly. Anytime we get a bridge that goes to a poor condition like that, we'll be inspecting it on a yearly basis instead of every 2 year basis. So anyway, that's Long Creek. You guys have any other questions on that? I gave you the construction guide for this year. You'll see what Taney County's at the very end. It's alphabetical, but you're towards the end. We've got some surface pavements that'll be going on 176 down in the Mary Woods area. And also Double E there at Rockaway Beach. And that looks like it's it. We've got quite a few things coming up in the future as far as we're working on 65. I believe that will be in 2021. We'll be repaving 65 basically from Ozark down to the high road. We've done from the high road down to Arkansas, I believe, last year. And we are looking at adding in some additional safety funds on that project. So we're just starting to look at the needs. We don't receive a significant amount of money as far as safety funds, but it will help us maybe address some turn lanes, maybe lengthen out what we see with all the up and down alignment of 65 and the volume of traffic. It's the quicker we can get people out of traffic when they're going to turn to extend the right turn lane or extend a left turn lane. That's very helpful. We still, we put down high friction surface treatment in those curves near Saddlebrook, and that has helped. It's provided more friction for drivers as they come down those hills and take those curves. But we are still having some wrecks there, and so we'll be looking at probably some additional items there. We'll go back with the high friction surface treatment again, but we'll probably be looking at maybe some median guard cable, maybe some lighted chevrons or some warning lights or something to try to get people to really take that curve seriously, because it seems like we've still got people hitting that curve at 90, 100 miles an hour and then going off into the median. They just don't slow down. So we'll be looking at methods for that. Probably looking at adding some turn lanes at A and BB. That's the one where we've got the interactive flashers now. We had some concerns from the community there. So those are some of the items that I know are on the table, but the budget is very early in the process right now, so we haven't fixed anything yet into the budget, but that's what we're looking at. Also, I had a talk with our traffic, I guess it would be, our traffic safety folks are in two divisions now. We've got traffic safety, and then we also have the traffic management folks that do the signals and the interactive flashers and things like that. The electricians are under that group. The flasher that we have at Route B on 76 has reached its lifespan, and they are planning to take that down. We looked at the accident history on that location. There's not been any accidents at that location since we did the improvements with the county many, many years ago. I honestly don't know why it got put back in, because it doesn't meet any of our criteria for a flasher, because the site distance got improved. We did come back through here recently to look at the site distance just to confirm that everything looked okay. So they are planning on taking that flasher out. It really doesn't serve any purpose, and it's just... it would be a diversion of funds to a location that really doesn't need the funds. We'll be looking at that. And out here on 160, if you've driven that way, we put the top lift of asphalt on the roundabout. And so I believe Devin was telling me they still haven't striped it, but they should be getting striping in.
No, that's striped.
Did they? Oh, awesome. Okay. I haven't had a chance to drive it. So I knew it had been paved last week, but I hadn't had a chance to drive it and look at it. So. I believe we're wrapping all that up. And then, of course, before you know it, it'll be mowing season. So just, I know you guys go through the same thing we do, but heads up.